You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that needs to get this done quick because Samantha's got Spanish homework she needs to finish. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
You should have introduced yourself in Spanish.
No.
No?
Mi nombre Sam. Did I just say I'm number Sam?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. I watched Star Trek IV, the one with the whales.
I love that one.
That's the best one. I think of the original movies, I think that is the most Star Trek of them all. Wrath of Khan is the best. The first one and the third one kind of suck. But I think the one with the whales is like the best, is the most indicative of the original series. Like, it has that tone.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. One, I think that's the one I watched the most because that was the one I always caught on TV.
Yeah.
Plus, it's the one that doesn't have the Enterprise.
That's true. It has the HMS Bounty.
Yes.
The Klingon bird of prey that they constantly talked about how stinky it was.
Mm-hmm.
I fell asleep watching this one.
Also, it's the one where Scotty talks into the mouse of a computer, trying to talk to the computer.
Hello, computer.
Nuclear Wessels.
Yes.
Nuclear Wessels.
Not talking around. They purposely gave him all like the words with like the W's and the V's. Without a doubt. No, that one, it's a lot of fun. It kind of came following up kind of a bad one. Search for Spock was not very good.
Well,
I don't know if you've gone back and watched it recently.
As the old adage is, we don't talk about the odd-numbered Star Trek movies.
Yeah, yeah, it's that
so
is
weird how that works out.
Yeah, at least through the original ones. Once you get into the next-gen movies, it's kind of a free-for-all.
The first two were good.
Yeah, yeah, and First Contact was not.
I like First Contact.
Was it First Contact or Genesis?
Okay. Generations was the first one.
Generations was the first one.
First Contact.
In Europe, it's called Star Trek Mega Drive.
That's a good joke.
Oh,
I like that.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute.
Yep.
But no, First Contact's the second one, and then it goes Insurrection.
Insurrection, and
then Nemesis.
Nemesis is the one that no one likes.
Yeah, it's the last one.
Right. That's the one that is bad.
Yes.
Okay.
With the Picard clone from the Romulans.
Yes. Yes. I recently discovered that there was, what's her name? Tasha Yar came back and played a Romulan-like
clone.
Not a clone, her daughter.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, I remember those seasons.
Right, because alternate timeline Tasha Yar went.
I keep forgetting that you've never actually watched a lot of Next Generation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, she was pretty big there for a while, so I'm like, What do you mean you just now found out?
No, I mean, Tasha Yar was only in it for one season.
Newsflash.
Sam doesn't like Star Trek.
No. No, I don't like some Star Trek.
It's like every other episode we go on a Star Trek tangent.
There's a lot of Star Trek news lately.
There's a lot of Trek.
There's so much Trek, a journey.
If you will.
There's so much Trek.
We have a 5-year journey of me talking about Star Trek, you guys.
But it's only going to get cut to 3 seasons.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to get canceled 3 seasons in.
They're going to try to do a second one, phase 2, but it never really
never worked out. We get that weird, boring movie.
Yeah, and then there's like the animated Nerd Overload,
the one with the giant Spock.
Yeah, and in the cat guests.
Yes, the cat girl that's on the ship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're on a tangent.
Yeah,
what happened to that animated Lower Decks? Is that coming anytime soon? What's the deal on that?
I don't know.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually. It is coming soon. Yeah. I think they're in a holding pattern until Picard is released. I think they want to see how that does and then kind of go from there.
Okay. Even though they're completely different mediums.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's CBS, so who knows what's going on in their brains.
What stupid streaming service you're going to have to subscribe to see it.
The Shadow knows. Unless Disney buys Paramount.
Well, that's the next step, I guess.
Yeah, after Sony.
Yeah.
Eventually we all fall under the flag of the mouse.
Welcome to our future where all of our entertainment is rationed out by Disney. They own all fiction.
I mean, they almost do.
Yeah.
They're getting close. Yeah.
So anyway, scary.
Anyway, Star Trek.
Yes. The Voyage Home.
The Voyage Home. Yeah. A lot of fun. It actually has a lot of really good comedy.
Yeah, I know. Like when Kirk is trying to swear.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure he swore in previous Treks.
Oh, but he, but in previous Treks, did Kirk call someone a double dumbass?
No.
That, because that's what happened in this movie.
I remember he slams the guy's hood.
He does. And Spock asks him why he's cursing so much. And Kirk is like, well, you know, if you read the literature of the time, everyone spoke like this. So for the rest of the movie, Spock is giving, like, putting damn in, like, the worst parts of sentences. He goes, the damn you are, Captain.
Or when that, like, 80s punker is, like,
yeah,
blaring the music
that
on the bus.
That was a producer of the movie.
Yeah. I remember reading that, and like Spock gives him the Vulcan neck pinch, and he falls asleep and turns, and he, like, his head turns off the boombox.
Yeah, that spot where Spock swam with the whale, and Kirk said, "Oh, don't worry about him. He took the LDS instead of LSD."
The Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
Don't worry, he's Mormon.
My favorite scene from that movie: they're going through the hospital. Chekhov's been hurt, and they're going to perform emergency brain surgery on him. Or whatever. And Bones is like, I gotta get in there, Jim. These barbarians are gonna cut the man open. And they're like, it's just this little thing. They're running through the hallways, and this woman just had her kidney removed. And he goes, they're still removing kidneys. Ugh, this is the worst. I hate it so much, Jim. And he gives her a pill and says, just take one of these and call me in the morning. And later in the scene, and like as they're leaving, it's just another quick shot. They run past this lady, and like with doctors surrounding her, going, it grew back. I don't know what happened.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
For some reason, you're talking about, I'm like, I don't remember Chekhov being hurt.
And yeah. Then the timeline was ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, JJ.
Hey, if anything, the timeline was ruined when Scotty and McCoy gave the people in the 80s the formula for transparent aluminum.
Oh, yeah, for spaceship windows.
For spaceship windows, so they can make the lower decks of the ship into a giant whale terrarium.
For the humpback whales.
For the humpback whales to save the future.
Because the probe from space
because
only
space
speaks
tube,
in wheel.
Space tube only speak whale.
And it's causing hurricanes and destroying the 24th century San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Space tube only speak
whale.
It is
a weird movie. Oh, also the fact that, you know, their whole crew was like disavowed by the Federation, and then they come back with the whales and everything's okay again.
Oh yeah, Kirk gets a slap on the wrist because, you know, you did blow up the Enterprise and you did kill a bunch of Klingons, but I mean, you just did save us from tube what speak only whale, so... So I guess we'll just make you captain again.
Yeah, because he lost his admiral title and became captain again.
Yeah.
And then I barely remember the other ones.
Oh, there's the one where God needs a spaceship.
Oh, no, I thought that was the first one.
No, that's the one with V'ger. One is V'ger, second one is Wrath of Khan. Third one is the one where they undo Spock being killed. Fourth one is the one with the whales. Fifth one is the... one where the travel to the center of the universe where God needs a spaceship.
Right.
And then sixth one is the one where the enemy is racism because they're trying to sign the peace treaty with the Klingons.
Yeah, isn't that the one where the guy, or no, that's the one with Kang?
And Kodos.
The Klingon with the eye patch. It's bolted to his face.
Yes.
He hides under the Enterprise in a bird of prey and shoots the other Klingon ship.
To try to stop, yeah.
Yeah.
And to then, start a war.
Yeah, yeah. And those two guys from the Enterprise beam over, kill all the Klingons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just know that's the one because the Klingon president is Red Foreman from that 70s show, and he looks stupid in Klingon makeup.
Yes. Which one's the one with...
I thought you were going to say Red Green.
That would be pretty great.
From the Red Green show.
That would be pretty awesome.
Which one's the one with Christopher Lloyd?
That's the third one.
Okay.
That's the third one is where Doc Brown is a Klingon and he kills Kirk's son. Star Trek is weird.
Yeah. Wait, which one's the one where Bones and Kirk go to Klingon jail?
The one where... I think that's the sixth one?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the sixth one.
Yeah, and there's like that changeling woman in the prison and... Kirk kicks a guy in the knee, but it actually wasn't his knee.
Yeah, that's the sixth
okay.
one.
Okay.
Yeah. That one's not very good.
Star Trek is weird.
Star Trek's weird.
Remember, if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. Keep your stick on the ice.
Old Klingon proverb.
Yeah.
I think Kalus the Undying said that.
Oh,
I think
so, yeah. If only we knew how to say red green in Klingon, that would make the joke the best.
Just a lot of guttural, like, ah, ah.
Yeah, I mean, there's
I probably just said something, kapwah,
which is success. Yeah, I'm gonna
have to edit that out. Thanks.
somebody who's versed in Klingon's gonna like email us.
Yeah, oh, I'm offended by those racist Klingon things you said.
Listen, I welcome people who know Klingon to email the show and tell me what what is in Klingon.
Baklava?
I think I just said baklava. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's talk about that new Zelda.
You guys talk about it because I didn't play it.
The Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening came out on the Switch last week, and have you played enough of it to form an opinion?
Oh yeah.
Okay, then let's form an opinion.
It's good.
It's very good. It's adorable. The animations are great. The graphics are awesome. It's the same game.
Well, with some quality of life increases.
Yeah, but it's basically the same game.
I mean, everything's good. Everything feels good. I like the art style. It's different. I hate that crane game.
Oh, they made it so hard.
It can go to hell.
It has real physics now.
Yeah, like, I went to pick up one of the secret conch shells, and it just fell out the back. And I'm like,
yeah. Try picking up a Goomba statue that's on one of the moving parts in the back. It's impossible.
Oh, yeah. I've tried to grab stuff off the back, and I'm just like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah, I don't have much of an opinion on this. I haven't played it. I actually didn't pick it up because it looks... I watch a lot of gameplay and stuff, and it just looks like the Game Boy game.
I was going to say, don't...
Yeah.
Really? If you haven't played Link's Awakening, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a great, amazing game.
Mm-hmm.
If you just played Link's Awakening 3 months ago for a podcast you never made.
Yeah.
Maybe don't.
Yeah. Like, if the game came out for $30, I would have picked it up day one. $30 seems like a very reasonable price for this.
$60 seem a little steep.
Yeah. It's too expensive.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah. Full price. AAA title pricing for this game is just, it's unbelievable.
Not that a lot of work did not go into this game.
Yeah, oh, sure, it looks really good.
It's beautiful.
And it sounds great.
The sound design is top-notch, because the original is just beeps and boops on the 8-bit speaker of the Game Boy.
Yeah.
This has full orchestrated music. The sound effects are great. That's a definite...
Okay, in that case, I'll give them $40. If it were $40, I would have picked it up.
It should be the cost of a 3DS game.
It should.
Because it more or less is just a really pretty one.
Yeah, it is.
I love the fact that the shield has its own button.
Yes. The shield has its own button. The Pegasus boots have their own button. And the animation when you use the Pegasus boots is hilarious looking.
I'm getting ready to go into the third dungeon. I haven't gotten them yet, but I've heard that it's pretty funny.
It is. Like, I don't want to say don't get it. I don't get it on sale or something.
It's a good game. Yeah. It's a good game.
I don't regret buying it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm enjoying playing it. I'm playing it on hero mode, too, which luckily they leave unlocked at the start.
At the start, yeah, I saw that.
And it makes it a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I say I'm playing on a normal, and I'm like, man, this game's not hard.
It's hard on hero mode. Nothing drops hearts anymore.
Ooh.
And everything does double damage.
Ooh. Don't scan that amiibo then.
That only works in the chamber dungeons.
Yes.
But you can
fight it yourself and get some money.
But it's very, very difficult. When you scan the amiibo in the chamber dungeons, it makes Shadow Link show up.
Oh, really?
And he does
3 hearts worth of damage every swing.
Wow, okay.
And he chases you room to room. He doesn't stay in one room.
Oh, he's like the Mr. X of...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
X gonna give it to you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Scared the crap out of me.
I just kind of jumped there too. Yeah. Good work. Did not expect the Link yell there.
You want to talk about Mothman Festival?
Oh yeah, we did. We went to the Mothman Festival.
Yeah.
One year to the day.
Yeah, which we talked about before when we went last year, but this year it was super crowded.
It was crazy crowded. It was nuts.
Thanks, Fallout 4.
Mothman Festival done blew up.
I had actually, last year, you were my only friend who went. I had at least one other friend who went this year.
Like, we had to wait an hour in traffic to park.
Oh my gosh.
And then an hour to get out when we left.
Jeez.
Man, that's like when I went to the Ohio State Fair.
That's crazy.
No, that was more like when I went to the Marion County Fair.
Yeah.
And you can tell Point Pleasant, the little town in West Virginia where this happens, it's been really helping them out, because there's a lot more little stores and stuff on their main street.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really boosting their economy.
Well, I mean, that's good.
That's excellent. I definitely want to get down there next year.
We should go not during the festival and just, it's fun.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I would like to go.
There's a pizza place that serves pizza with the topping shaped as Mothman.
Oh, nice.
Apparently it's okay.
But we should definitely make a trip out.
For sure. Yeah, that's definitely. Fun.
Country road.
You know what? We didn't listen to that song on the way there. Maybe we'll have to play it. Maybe.
Maybe that is why you had to wait in traffic so long.
Yeah. Well, it's. I didn't really explain it. I mean, we have before. Sure, but it's a little festival in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which is like the very first town across the border from Ohio.
Yeah,
it's like river. What was it?
It's like when you go to Newport, Kentucky.
And it's a little street fair themed on the Mothman, which is a monster that people saw there in like the 60s and 70s.
And before.
Yeah, well, and since. it's like a Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, it's like a Bigfoot kind of thing.
Near Bigfoot, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of like cool crafts and art and Mothman related crafts and art people do and sell. And you can get fair food.
Nice.
I mean, it's definitely a cooler premise than popcorn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not too far out from something like the popcorn festival.
Because, listen, I love popcorn and bratwurst and, like, where are some of the other festivals around here? The Circle of Pumpkin Show is... Yeah. That's a good one. I want to get back to that one. It's been a while since that. But, like, I've been to a blueberry festival that was, like, three tents with, like... It's like a blueberry cheeseburger. It's like a cheeseburger with like blueberry sauce. That's actually not bad.
Actually, that sounds pretty good.
It's not bad. It was like almost like a tart barbecue sauce.
I'm pretty sure I've been to a corn festival before.
But those all are okay. Mothman themed one. That sounds rad.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
My old town Strasbourg has Cornfest.
Nice.
And an ox roast.
The ox roast is pretty cool. Though I've been to that one.
Basically, just the fire station just roasts an ox.
Nice.
Now, is the corn spelled with a K?
I wish.
Oh, jeez.
Somebody was selling, was the kettle corn at the Mothman Festival, and it just had the corn logo. It just said kettle corn logo.
Oh, my God.
It was hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
There's, like, so many cool Mothman t-shirts and...
All the weird cryptic news.
And all kinds of, cryptid stuff. It's not just Mothman, too. You get your Flatwoods Monster, you get your Bigfoots.
Nice.
Your Hopkinsville Goblin.
Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a better festival than the Storm Area 51 festival that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That was a thing.
That happened.
It came and went, and nothing happened.
Yeah, it wasn't a huge disaster. And right. It also doesn't look like it was that good of a time either.
No one got shot. There were no aliens.
No cheeks got clapped.
Yeah. 6 out of 10.
I heard like 75 people showed up.
At least nobody died in the desert.
That was more of a success than Fire Festival.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Though there is that one video of the reporter sitting there giving his cast and some kid Naruto runs behind him.
Yeah, that was worth it.
That was worth it. Yeah.
But we heard a local talking about the Mothman Festival, like, how's the turnout this year? And they're just like, there's a lot of people. A lot of people.
Like, it was hard to get through those different stores. You're
hearing like the Kill Bill siren.
Yeah. So we ate some very good noodles. It was like Hawaiian soba noodles. They were very good.
Huh. Yeah, it sounds good.
Last year we got pizza, wood fried pizza from a trailer. It was also pretty good.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. I definitely want to, I kind of feel bad for missing it this year. I definitely want to get down there, at some, to see the town anyway, but for the festival, that sounds like
awesome.
There's a museum there too, but I wouldn't go to it during the festival because there's like a mile long.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, don't go during the festival expecting to go to the museum.
I mean, unless you want to stand in line.
Yeah, no.
That's like going to Castle Noel in Medina during Christmas time.
Oh, that's right. That's the Christmas thing, right?
Yeah, the Christmas museum that has a bunch of like movie props and like Macy's Day stuff or Macy's store things.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's a cool thing. Like if you like Christmas movies and stuff, it's really neat. But I don't want to talk about that just yet. I mean, you got like 2 months of that. I watched all of Disenchantment.
Oh, yeah. We've watched, I don't know how many there are, probably at least half.
There are 10 episodes.
We just watched the one where King Zog falls in love with the bear lady, the Selkie.
Oh.
It was a sweet episode. I really liked it.
Yeah, I actually sat there and like, oh man, I feel kind of bad for King Zog.
Yeah. It really shows that while he is a boorish, oafish cartoon character, they'll also let him grow a little bit, which mm-hmm. is good writing. Anyway, Disenchantment is Matt Groening's show on Netflix, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, it's his fantasy series.
Yeah, I mean, he did Current Day.
He did Future.
Future. Now he do fantasy.
He do fantasy.
Oh, man, when King Zog made the one reference.
Oh, he did make a Futurama reference.
Bite my shiny metal axe.
It was pretty funny.
That's good.
because King Zog is also voiced by
Bender.
By John DiMaggio. John DiMaggio,
yeah.
And he's got the little thing on his head. He's got a little.
Oh, nice.
You know, I never. Crown. I've noticed it, but I never put the two together.
Yep, that's why that's there. He's got a little Bender antenna on his crown.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Oh, man.
It continues to be a really good show. Like, if you like Matt Groening's sense of humor, then you'll like this one.
It's a lot more structured.
Yeah,
because he's definitely trying to tell a story with this, unlike Simpsons, where like it was just like situational. Yeah. Situational. Mm-hmm. This actually, there's like character development, plot development, world building.
Yeah, Futurama had that, but this turns it up.
Yeah, but also notches. Futurama, like, it didn't really have it so much in the beginning, but kind of did, but like it was way more stretched out.
Well, it was all planned, though, from the start. The stuff in Futurama that you learn happens, you learn about later is there in that first episode if you go back and look.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, sure.
Yeah, I went back and started rewatching it again.
The Nibbler thing?
Yeah, yeah. I looked in the shadows. I'm like, oh, he is there.
Yeah, he's there, yeah.
So it was all, it's all planned, but Disenchantment definitely has more plot.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And what's his name? Phil Lamar. Like, does a few voices in the show.
Oh,
like,
yeah. All the Futurama regulars pretty much show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, like, Phil Lamar's voices are, like, it's basically just his Samurai Jack voice for every character. Except he doesn't talk like Samurai Jack, per se.
Mm.
But, yeah, I finished it. It's not bad. Different. Oh, yeah. The first time I really noticed Phil Lamar is when in heaven. I like it. It's good. It was good. It definitely, honestly, I feel like the season focused a lot on Zog, like his, like, just dealing with everything.
Yeah. He was kind of a standout character, I think, in the first season. I guess they decided to go all in with Zog this time. Which I like Zog. He's funny.
Sometimes.
Alpha's still my favorite character, though.
He got really jaded in this season.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you would too if you've been through what Alpha has been through.
Yeah.
Have you watched that Cannon Busters?
Oh, that weird,
like a Western anime.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of like Outlaw Star.
Yeah, it's like Outlaw Star mixed with Trigun, kind of.
Yeah.
And also weird.
No, I haven't watched it. It looked weird.
We've watched like 3 or 4 episodes of that,
it's
and I kind of like
yeah,
it.
It's
yeah,
not bad. It's different and kind of scratches that old anime itch.
Mm.
Yeah, it feels like a 2000s anime, mid-2000s anime.
Mm.
So that, and it's not entirely anime either. It's written by not Japanese people. Natasha Allegri is on the writing staff.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
Being Puppy Cat.
Yeah, interesting.
Oh man, being Puppy Cat has a new season's coming.
Oh yeah, that Lazy in Space. There was a trailer that I haven't watched it yet though.
It was not much.
Not much.
Like Puppy Cat accidentally hangs himself, or B hangs him somehow.
Oh, that's dark.
Well, not like he's more like just yelling at her for being incompetent.
Oh, okay.
As he's hanging from his collar.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was Country Road, Take Me Home by John Denver. So we played that because of the Mothman Festival, and also it's going to lead into our first news topic.
Fallout 76 Watch, it's back.
It's been a while since we've had some bad Fallout 76 news. There for a while, it seemed like it was like every week almost, there was something new.
It was the gift that kept on giving.
Oh yeah, it helped us through many a week where there was not a whole lot of news. So yeah, tell me, what is going on with these like poisonous helmets?
If you bought a Nuka-Cola edition Fallout 76 helmet for, I think it was a GameStop exclusive.
Yep, it was a GameStop exclusive.
They want it back because mold grows inside of it, apparently.
Oh.
Dangerous mold.
For something that a lot of people will probably put on their head.
Yeah.
So not only is the game not very good, and also your bags are bad, and also they give away all of your personal information. Now you get sick from their helmets?
Yes.
Wow.
Anything this game has touched, it is somehow ruined.
Yeah, it is. It's mind-boggling at this point. Like,
I don't see how anyone... Well, now, granted, I know it's not Bethesda's fault. And not necessarily GameStop's fault.
That one, this time, it's not Bethesda's fault.
I still want to blame Bethesda, though.
It's Todd's fault.
Yeah, directly. Todd put the mold in the helmets.
He inspects every helmet and sneezes in it.
Yeah. That's it.
It's Todd mold.
Todd mold. It just works.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
That's it.
Well, that was a Blizzard quote.
It's applicable here, though.
It was also that people were saying about the PSP when it came out and it would shoot the UMDs out the top. Like, it literally, like, that thing is so spring-loaded, it would literally
just
launch this.
Rocket them. Yeah.
Stupid little discs they use.
The UMD.
Yeah. Oh, oh hey, man. Portable system. Let's get a medium that has moving parts. That won't be a problem.
That won't be a problem at all. Oh, man, I remember having to sell UMDs at FYE years and years ago.
GameStop.
Yeah, like, we could not move those things. I think we ended up just giving them away.
I think the only time we ever moved them was when PSPs, like, when people were buying PSPs.
Okay, I started working at FYE after the PSP was a thing. So, like, we just had a stack of, like, it wasn't even games. It was just movies.
Yeah, yeah, why I get the games, but why the movies?
We had so many copies of Austin Powers in Gold Member on UMD.
We had a bunch
so
of used ones.
Of
so
yeah.
You just thought people would want to rebuy all the movies they already own on tiny, tiny discs.
But it was portable.
Like cell phones.
Yeah, it was definitely before cell phones. It was about the same time the N-Gage was a thing.
Well, it was when everybody was buying DVDs. There was a time there when, like, DVDs was the hot thing.
That was the hot thing, yeah.
Everybody had to own every show.
Oh, how about the HD DVD before the Windows at War with the Blu-ray?
Yeah, that was Microsoft's
bet. That was the Microsoft,
that was
yeah.
the horse that Microsoft was trying to bet
yeah.
on.
Yeah, you could buy that little HD DVD drive for your Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It didn't work with any games, but if you wanted to watch Austin Powers and Goldmember in HD DVD.
Pretty much.
But then
yeah.
the Blu-ray won out.
Yeah. That is the Betamax of our generation.
It really is.
Yeah, you're right. But was it really better, though? Because at least Betamax was kind of better than VHS.
Betamax was better than VHS. And they're lasting longer. There are VHS that are deteriorating now that Betamax is still...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That makes me feel old.
Right?
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean...
I'm also deteriorating.
Hi, I'm Cody VHS Pinnock.
Be kind. Rewind.
Okay, so hey, let's talk about some old things that are becoming new things again. First up, they're doing another Jurassic World movie, and apparently they're getting back, like, all the old actors.
The band's back together.
Yeah.
Well, the ones that survived the first movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We got Laura Dern. We got...
Sam Neill. And we got everyone's favorite, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum's brother.
John Goodman.
John Goodman as Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Yeah. But no, they're getting the three main.
Yep.
The three mains back
now,
together.
Now,
that's
granted,
good.
Jeff Goldblum was in the last one.
In a bit part.
Yeah, very briefly.
Barely.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, he's technically in the first one, too. I mean, in picture
But
form.
Now that everybody loves Jeff Goldblum... They had to give him a bigger and better part for this.
I mean, I don't think it's like now everyone loves Jeff Goldblum. I mean, most of us have always loved Jeff Goldblum.
Everyone has remembered that they loved Jeff Goldblum. That's what it is.
Well, forgive them for the not know Jeff. I never lost faith.
But no, I'm excited to see Sam Neill show up at least in some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen him since Jurassic Park 3, where he dreamed about talking raptors.
That's right.
Jurassic World 2 was not amazing. wasn't terrible.
It's schlock.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Yeah, yep.
It's kind of pretty entertaining.
It's, yeah, it's bad, but it's entertaining bad.
It was
bad.
A fun summer movie.
Yeah, it, fun and dumb.
It left it open for an awesome third movie, though. Like, the conceit at the... It's been long enough. Mm-hmm. At the end is now the world is going to be overrun with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And that sounds pretty cool.
That does sound pretty
mean,
cool.
That's kind of how the original book ends.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, they say in the original book, like, raptors got off the island, other dinosaurs got off the island, and ended up in mainland South America.
Right, yeah. So it makes me wonder, do you think they're going to implement any of the plot stuff from the original draft of Jurassic Park 3 into this? Do you
that's
know
the one that had dinosaur soldiers and stuff?
That's the one that had cyber dinosaur soldiers that talked and shot guns.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the draft. That might have been a draft of the second one, too.
It might have been in the a part of it in the second one, but it was definitely the original draft of the third one. Were part robot, part dinosaur soldiers that shot guns and fought people. It was basically dino saucers.
Oh, man. I think they released a little short film or something that ties into Jurassic World 3. It basically highlights like the fact that there are dinosaurs in the wild, like monkeying with ecosystems.
Oh, not monkeying, dinosauring.
That the whole time in Jurassic World 2, it feels like that they're teasing that one little girl is part dinosaur.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, the actual reveal was that she was just like a clone. Or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's like, are you gonna say she's part dinosaur?
Because that'd be
is
rad.
Is that who you're leading at? Because that's kind of. That would be way cooler than the actual reveal.
Yeah.
I never got the hint that she was part dinosaur. I was like, okay, she's a clone. They're using cloning technology like they did for the dinosaurs to make a girl.
And it's surprising that it took that long for them to go, hey, we could just do this with people.
And what if we did it with people and not dinosaurs?
Yeah. All right, so along those same lines of old things becoming new things, there is going to be a proposed reboot for Walker, Texas Ranger. Who here watched a bunch of Walker, Texas Ranger?
I mean, I did.
No, not only clips that were on Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, that's where it started for me, but I never watched it when it was airing, but I have watched like old episodes as like when the Chuck Norris fad was a thing and like everything. Oh man, Chuck Norris is so cool. He can roundhouse kick an entire building down or whatever.
And then it turned out Chuck Norris actually isn't cool at all.
He's not that cool of a guy.
He's not
But hey, Walker, Ranger Cordell Walker, he is a cool guy.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. But yeah, so this is going to be done starring the one of them
Supernatural boys.
The one with the floppy hair? I don't know. Yes. I don't know Supernatural.
Jared Padalecki.
Pataki.
I'm going to say Pataki. And like, no, that's Hey Arnold.
That's Hey. Yeah, that is definitely Hey Arnold.
The tall one. Tall one.
They're both
again,
tall boys.
That doesn't. That
yeah,
doesn't
but he's
help
the
me.
Tallest.
The tallest and therefore most important.
I don't know which one is which. I have no idea. I've watched episodes of the show. I don't know which Supernatural
Sam.
Boy is which.
Sam.
Yes.
Is that the car's what? Is that the car's name? There's the car. They really like that car.
Yeah. I don't know. I've watched two episodes of Supernatural and they were both of the ones with Felicia Day. I was in a hotel a while back and it was just on.
It was the Felicia Day marathon.
It was
maybe.
It was a very short Supernatural marathon where it was just yeah.
She has bit parts on every Sci-Fi Channel show ever made.
It's kinda, yeah. Hey, you know, you can eke out a pretty good career of doing bit parts on a million different things. Why not?
I mean, it made her the quote-unquote queen of the nerds.
But I don't know. This is going to be okay. It all comes down to whether this tall, floppy-haired Supernatural boy can do a roundhouse kick. Because he's got to do the roundhouse kick. Like, you can't do Walker, Texas Ranger without the martial arts. That would... At that point, it would just be, this is Southern Cop.
Southern Cop.
The point? Yeah.
We should write that show.
Texas Crime Fighter.
Southern Cop. Texas Crime.
He's solving propane and propane emergencies.
Oh, God. Okay. Let's see. There's one other news.
He's a hat. He's mostly a hat. He's
yeah.
just a huge cowboy hat with like legs sticking out.
With tiny
the
legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like
this
it.
This is my pitch for an Adult Swim show.
So he's basically the Arby's, like the old Arby's mascot.
Yeah. 12-minute episodes, they mostly don't make sense.
Ranger R.B. Walker. anyway, okay, so there's
He's
one
other... He's got a beef with crime.
Yes. Done. I can't beat that. That's you got it.
Yeah, then we get a brand deal with Arby's on Adult Swim.
Get as much of that wet meat as we possibly can. Yeah. TM. Yeah. Okay, so one other television news. I guess there was supposedly going to be a Ghost Rider TV series for Hulu that has now been canceled, presumably because there's going to be some kind of thing go on the Disney Plus app. Along with that, the New Warriors sitcom that they had been talking about for a very long time has also just not going to happen at this point.
Kind of sad on one hand because they had Squirrel Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Not so sad on the other hand. Now Squirrel Girl is free from the grasp of this ensemble show.
They're free. She's free from that for them to do whatever they want with. And like they should like...
Maybe she could team up with Kamala Khan and Ms. Marvel.
You know, that actually isn't a bad idea.
Yeah. That's actually pretty much the animated series. That's
the
on.
Marvel Rising animated series.
That's
pretty
much it.
Just give her a movie. Let her fill the Ant-Man role where it's a good movie that's funny that is occasionally your superhero movie of the month.
Yeah. I would be okay with... I think... It wouldn't be as hard a sell as you would think, but it would still be a hard sell to the mainstream audience for a Squirrel Girl movie because the concept of the character is inherently goofy and dumb.
You're not wrong.
But I think a Disney Plus series would be the way to go with it. And like we were talking before the show, I actually would think it would work almost like as well as a Disney Channel, like That's So Raven-esque, like teen... sitcom style kind of situation where you don't have to be, because there is a natural inclination for superhero TV shows to have at least some form of dark grittiness, and that is like the furthest thing from a Squirrel Girl show.
God, no.
So in order to avoid that completely, you hone in on the female 14 to 17 age demographic where you can tell like it's kind of more adult stories, but they're just kind of, you know, fun goofy things. I think that would be a good place to at least start with the character if you're going to do a TV series. And plus, at that point, they would be able to just do the comics.
Yes.
Like, the comics are very cinematic. You know, you could see it almost a one-for-one kind of...
Yeah.
The only thing you wouldn't be able to do is get all those squirrels to attack Dr. Doom, because they don't have Dr. Doom. No, they do have Dr. Doom.
They own him now. Yeah.
Also, you'd lose out on the running commentary on the bottom of the pages.
Yeah.
The Ryan North stuff at the bottom of the pages.
I'd do it like pop-up video.
Yeah.
That actually would kind of work.
Just whatever they do with Squirrel Girl, I hope they get him involved in some way.
Yeah, that would be pretty great. Yeah, I just want Squirrel Girl. I want Nancy Whitehead. I want Brain Drain.
Yeah.
Brain Drain is my new favorite character from that series, other than Squirrel Girl. Like he was an old like one-off villain from the 60s that was a brain in a jar with a robot body, and they brought him back as like
the brain from DC.
Yeah, but he had like a full robot body instead of just a tube. But they brought him back and they gave him like this nihilist kind of like perspective on life, and he definitely has like a Werner Herzog. Esque, like you read the his thought speech balloons, and it's just you hear Werner Herzog talking about ennui, and like, yeah,
and he like ends up going to college.
He goes to college. He becomes he's like their buddy. Yeah, yeah. Huh. He goes by he puts on a wig and calls himself Brian Drain, but doesn't put a mask on or anything. So it's just a glass tube with a brain and two eyeballs floating. But because he's wearing a wig, people are like, oh yeah, that's just Brian. Whatever.
And we need Koi Boy and Chipmunk Hunk.
That would be great. Yeah. Yeah. They actually reintroduced the Girl Squirrel. Rascatoire or whatever.
Girl Squirrel.
The North Squirrel.
The North Squirrel that runs up and down the Tree of Life.
Yes.
Yeah. They introduced her as Rachel. She like is like Thor Light.
Huh.
Or not Thor Light. Loki Light.
I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess.
And yeah.
That whole issue is so hilarious.
It's
like,
so great.
I reading that and just rolling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. In that case, yeah, pick up the War of... What was that? The War of King?
War of the Realms.
War of the Realms tie-ins with Squirrel Girl, because it's Squirrel Girl and
Razz Kattar
in a human form running around Canada fighting ice
giants.
It's pretty great. It's really good.
The whole War of the Realms was really good, especially when Spider-Man got that that Viking helmet that allowed him to talk to the Valkyrie horses.
Let him talk to horses, but everyone else just heard him go.
Yeah, everyone hears him just saying nay.
Yeah, and,
like Luke Cage, like looks at the other, goes, "What is going on?"
Yeah,
it's really funny.
It's great. It's super good.
By the way, that Jurassic Park short film is called Battle at Big Rock.
Mm.
It was actually officially released by the Jurassic World YouTube
channel. Oh, nice. Okay, cool. All right, well, hey, let's talk about some video games.
Yeah.
All right. Sony did their big State of Play video that's like Nintendo Direct.
But not as good.
Not as good.
It's like the mountain lightning of Nintendo Directs.
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem with it is they don't explain what any of the games are.
Yeah.
Nintendo will show you a trailer, and then somebody will come out, and they'll tell you what this game is and what you do in it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff in the State of Play is like that Humanity game.
Yeah.
All you see is a bunch of people walking around, big crowds of people, and then they're fighting, and then they're falling off a wall. And then they're like, oh, November 2020. Get excited.
Are you excited?
It's like, I don't know what I just saw.
Yeah, I can't be excited for this.
Yeah.
In fact, the amount of crowds in that actually made me like not want to play that game.
But yeah,
like,
that was the first thing they showed.
Was it's not the way to lead their show.
Yeah.
It's like if it's not a port of an existing game or a sequel to a series we already know.
Or a gun shooty game that you can pretty much imagine how it's
Call of Duty, Modern Warfare.
But they led with this Humanity game, which looks like some sort of crowd-based human
lemmings.
3D lemmings.
But they're also fighting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's weird.
It definitely looks like a weird puzzle game.
It looks like a mobile game that's one of those idol-like games that you would see a million ads for before YouTube videos.
Yeah. And then they showed the continuing adventures of Colin O'Duty.
Yeah.
As a person who did play the Call of Duty games,
I've played one or two.
I've played a handful of them, and of the Call of Duty games, I did like the original Modern Warfare. It actually had a decent story to it.
Well, apparently single player is back, because this trailer was all cinematics.
Basically.
Yeah, there was like no gameplay for this.
And it was incredibly boring
to me. Oh, same here. I mean, I'm sure there's absolutely a market for these kind of games, but like,
yeah, they release one every year.
Yeah, but like, it just holds absolutely zero. I cannot get myself to pay attention to this thing.
Yeah,
it's just funny because they released a remaster of Modern Warfare 2. Not that long. Yes, a remaster, which is it's the same game. It just looks better. And then this one is a reboot to the Modern Warfare series.
Yeah, they just called it Modern Warfare
again. Yeah, like the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their business model from now on. All of their games are just Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it features like at least one character from the original Modern Warfare.
Is it Mustache or is it Beard?
Mustache.
Okay.
Captain Price.
And Woman.
Yeah,
that's
the
characters I can remember.
Yeah.
Mustache, Beard, Woman.
I guess
old beard and old gun.
Weird hat.
Yeah.
Weird hat. Yeah.
Yeah. He, I guess, she's a new character and they're fighting in some fictional country. I guess originally it was supposed to be like an actual country. But then they changed it to not offend people.
They were not brave enough.
Or
don't have the tact to tell a story.
first person shooters, my feelings on that notwithstanding. Setting things in a modern setting is just boring.
Yeah, it's not fun to me.
I don't want to play that. I don't want to watch it. I don't care. Like, you know what? If you want your shooty games, whatever, set it. Make it in the future.
Whatever.
War is not fun. Yeah, war is not a fun fantasy for me.
I play games to relax. I don't want to spend my relaxed time thinking about war.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, again, it's not for us.
Yeah.
There are some people that are very into these games. They wouldn't be making them if
they weren't.
I kind of
wish they would re-release like another Battlefield 2142. because that was fun.
Oh, like historical stuff. I guess.
No, this was like
lasers. Oh, 2142. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. That's the future. Yeah,
yeah, there's like hover tanks and like laser guns and walking robots.
Well, see, that's cool. That's fun. Yeah, future is fun because at least there's something visual that you can look at and go, hey, that's neat. And also, you can easily make the villain an alien. And that way, you're not just shooting other people.
I really don't enjoy shooting other people in video games.
I don't either.
Like, it's not a deal breaker for me. I'll play games where people get shot, but like, I much prefer shooting an alien or a monster
or some sort of robot.
Like, some sort of robot. Oh yeah. Let's move on to the next game here. What is this, Watam or Watam?
It's by the guy that made Katamari Damacy, and if I was a good journalist, I would tell you what his name was, but I don't remember it.
But this game just looks weird.
Super,
but even, Katamari Damacy was weird.
Yeah, that was weird, but still fun. This just looks weird.
And you could parse what you did in Katamari Damacy just at least by looking at it. This one, you hold hands with objects that are people.
Objects that have faces.
And then they blow up sometimes in a funny way. At least with Katamari, you have a ball, you're rolling a ball, and things get stuck to it, and you're trying to make it bigger.
It's an easy concept.
That's the concept.
It's easy to understand.
Easy. This one.
What?
I don't know.
At this point, Death Stranding makes more sense.
Yeah. And you know what? It might be something I'd be interested in if they would take the time to explain to me what I was looking at.
Yeah.
The toilet guy picking up the doo-doo guy and then flushing him in his head.
That was weird.
That was weird.
But still.
It makes no sense.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
No clue.
Yeah.
And if it's like Nobi Nobi Boy, then I'm not interested. That game was dumb. When it came out, everybody was going on about what a brilliant artistic masterpiece it was. And it's like, you go around and you eat a thing or you don't.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, that's new.
It obviously didn't make an impact on me.
And it's like when you ate stuff, it went into a global count of stuff to make another character stretch out across the solar system in real distance.
Mm.
Which is kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting. But there was no actual game. Like, you had to make your own fun while you played it.
Yeah. All right, so we got to fly through these last couple real quick. What is Arise?
That was the Viking-y looking one, like the Viking Afterlife. It started with a funeral pyre, and then the guys in the afterlife, I guess.
Yeah, wakes up like on a snowy hill, and not exactly sure exactly what you're supposed to do other than maybe find the spot of light on the mountain.
Yeah. It had a very crisp visual style.
It looked very nice. Yeah.
It looked like maybe like a platformer kind of.
Puzzle. It looked like you had to find ways to get across places.
Maybe a little Zelda-y. Yeah, maybe with like, you know, Prince of Persia-style platforming puzzle.
That could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looked cool, but...
looked fine.
Once again, they
no explanation.
Yeah, they didn't really explain it, so...
Yeah. All right, so we had a VR reel next.
Oh, man, there was so much.
Yeah, there was a lot of
VR stuff.
All I remember was Space Channel 5, because I love Space Channel 5.
That's the highlight. There was also the L.A. Noir.
Oh, yeah.
The one with the guy with his weird floppy, like, arms that were had, like, broken weird physics. And also he was making, like... The L.A. Noir is an interesting game because they used, like... It was, like, a step forward in, like, facial mo-capping and stuff. But, like, one of the conceits is, like, they tell... Like, you're a cop and they tell you something. And then you have to determine whether they're telling the truth or lying. And they telegraph it so clearly. Like, the lie face on any actor is, like, they scrunch up and look like they're going to... mess themselves.
It gets difficult.
It does. I guess I've only seen the first couple of levels where it's very obvious. Like, it's like, I did not commit this crime.
It's a good game. I played all the way through it. It's a good detective game.
Is this VR game going to be any good, do you suppose?
It's been out on PC for like 2 years.
Oh,
I've seen some pretty funny videos on YouTube of it.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
Okay, so, that's good.
Yeah, it's just another place you can check that out.
Yeah.
Yep. Some other various PC VR games are getting released on the PlayStation.
Okay, that's cool.
Like, I saw a bunch that I recognized that were going by so fast. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But the Space Channel 5, though, it's a classic. It's a rhythm game where you're a news reporter in space and you dance to fight aliens.
Sounds awesome.
And now you're going to be able to do it in VR.
Which was originally a Dreamcast game.
Yeah.
That's great.
It was called, what was it, Space Channel 5 Kind of Funky Newsflash.
That's it. Yep.
That was the name. Yep.
That's a great name. Okay, so Medieval?
Yeah. I mean, I'm already excited about it. It's a remastering. I don't know if it has both of them, but it's at very least the first one.
I think it's just the first one.
That makes me sad.
Yeah.
But Medieval was a PlayStation 1 series of two games that you were an undead knight fighting evil.
Fight a necromancer.
Yeah, he like raises an army of the dead, but he accidentally raises you too.
This is like the sixth time they've shown it, and I guess now it's coming out soon.
Yes. Hey, that's cool.
That was basically what it was like. Here, see some stuff. Oh, by the way, if you pre-ordered or whatever, here's a helmet.
You get a helmet, and it's the chintziest dumbest looking thing. Not cool helmet I've ever seen.
I mean, that's what it looked like in the original game.
Yeah, but if you want me to, you want a pre-order incentive, then make it something that's, I don't know, cool.
Yeah. do you think he's going to end up in Smash?
Sir Daniel Fontesquieu?
No, he's not going to end up in Smash.
He's a sword boy.
Sony doesn't play well with others at all.
Yeah, Cloud. I guess that's...
That's Square. That was up to Square.
That's true. Okay, well then I guess not. I guess he won't.
But... Daniel's a first-party Sony character.
I didn't know he was a first-party. Yeah, I thought he was an outside company. Nope. Okay, well then, yeah, he's never going to be on Smash. Not a million years.
They're not buddy-buddy like Microsoft and Nintendo are.
Yeah, no. Okay, so Civilization 4, I have almost no feelings towards this game whatsoever.
Like, I appreciate that it's a good game that a lot of people like, but I've tried to get into it and I just can't. It's just
this game has been out forever on PC. Anybody who's ever going to play it has probably already played it.
Aren't they like up to 6 at this point? Or is Civ 4 the newest one?
It's on the Switch.
Yeah.
I think you can play it on the Switch already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be a different Civ. I don't know.
Okay,
it's not exciting.
Yeah,
no.
For anyone.
Yeah. Next to last game, we have After Party, which looks like a lot of fun.
This was the only one that was like super exciting.
Yeah. It's by the people who made Oxenfree, which is a very good like horror adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
This one is about two college buddies trying to get out of hell.
Yeah.
By out partying Satan and
his buddies. Yeah, so you have to outdrink the devil, and it sounds kind of goofy like putting it like that, but it's like
there was like some beer pong,
mm-hmm. And it looks visually really
interesting,
really like neon and stuff. Yeah,
it looks a lot like Oxenfree. Oh, it does.
Yeah,
up a notch.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I'm kind of hoping it. Yeah, I like that one.
That won't be an exclusive. You'll be able to get that everywhere.
Okay, good. Because when it eventually makes it to Switch, I will probably pick it up then because that does look like a lot of fun.
It probably will. Oxenfree is on the Switch.
Oh, okay, well then, yeah, perfect.
I mean, this is totally completely different than Oxenfree, but gameplay wise, very similar.
Yeah,
This is like comedy Oxenfree.
Right. And the last thing we have is Last of Us 2.
Hey,
do you remember when they played that first trailer like a year and a half ago?
No, well, now we have a release date.
Like two E3s ago?
Yeah, it's February 2nd is when it's finally coming out. I don't know, they've taken so long on this one.
Yeah.
I've kind of lost interest.
Same here.
To be honest.
I mean, it visually looks really cool.
Yeah, and I really like the first one a lot. I played all the way through the first one. It's got a great story.
I mean,
story.
Heck, they even remastered the first one.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, We'll see how it goes when it comes out.
I've kind of lost excitement on AAA games like that lately.
Yeah.
I read an article the other day that I forget who writes it, but I'm a real crime junkie over here. Did you hear about that podcast, Crime Junkie?
No.
The host got in trouble because they didn't cite any of their sources ever.
Oh.
As a true crime podcast.
Oh, geez, that would be an issue.
They were just wholesale lifting stuff from like Reddit and other podcasts.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, and I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. What was I talking about?
Last of Us.
AAA titles.
AAA titles.
They're only ever so good.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of their stories aren't anything you haven't already seen in a movie. Like, they don't do anything that's entirely original.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get excited about. It's like... I don't like the Great Value brand of video games where, like, you know, it's going to be, well, no, that doesn't make sense either. But I don't, they're just only ever so good. You're never surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. There's too much interference from higher ups in order, it kind of default puts a cap on, like, creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because they're so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. That too. And like, they want to try to keep it at least a little bit safe because they want to at least, they don't want to have a flop.
Yeah. And they're so worried about making video games into a respectable medium like movies.
Yeah.
That they forget to make them video games and then they turn into movies with game parts.
Yeah, basically. Yep. All right. Well, listen, we are way over on time, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Do you have social media? Because we know you do. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram if you like the pictures at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on various places you can find podcasts like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can head over there and check that out. You can get the show a couple days early if you'd like. It's pretty great. We have shirts that we sell. Just go to Nerd Overload, hit the
store
link. I want to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his music over at davidpencil.com. Anyway, thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.